Okay, we're beginning here at the bottom of Kuvav Amud Bet. Yesterday's daf, we discussed two positions that Rabbi Chiya Abba brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to discuss the third idea or third statement that was made by Rabbi Chiya Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. It's 3 lines from the bottom of Kuvav Amud Bet. Rabbi Chiya Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, Hatoin Tanat Ganav Pikadon, person who makes a claim of Ganav when it comes to Pikadon, and so it's Shomer Chinam, who claims that the item that he's watching was stolen, and therefore he should be patur. Enu chayav, he'll only be chayav kefel for that shvat, shichvor b'miktzat b'yodu b'miktzat, only if he has a case of mode b'miktzat. What is that? Why is that true? Because my time, well, what's the reason? Damar krah, because the pasuk says in the parasha of Shomer Chinam, ki hu zeh. So if you look in the parasha of Shomer Chinam, in percha bet mishpatim, in pasuk chet, it says there in the case of Toin Tanat Ganav, in an instance where Shomer Chinam claims that he was watching an item, and the item was stolen from him, he is patur if he takes a shvuah. If he's then later found to be the Ganav himself, he's the one who stole it, and it wasn't stolen by someone else, then he'll have to pay kefel. When is he chayav a shvuah? When does he have to take a shvuah? Anytime he says that it was stolen from him, he has to take a shvuah. So according to this, Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan, he only has to take a shvuah if he is modeh b'miktzat. If he admits to partially being chayav for the item, that he's partially responsible for the item, but the other part of the item was nignav, was stolen, that he can only return a part of it, but the other part was stolen. Now this comes out from the pasuk chet, as we said, al kol dvar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al seh, al somal, kol avida, asher yomar ki hu zeh, ad heluhim yavo dvar shnehem, asher yashion eluhim, yishalem shtayim nereu. So here we're talking about the shvuah, and the shvuah is taken where we've learned in Perek Merubah for all these different types of items, or what these items come to include or exclude. But then in the middle of that pasuk, it says ki hu zeh. The Gemara in other places learns that from ki hu zeh to teach us that it's modeh b'miktzat, that the case of when you're chayav shvuah is modeh b'miktzat. But here we're going to see a machloket. When does that apply? Does that only apply to a milveh? In a case of a loan, when do we say someone is chayav shvuah? That comes to only in a case of a loan. And we're going to see a reason why, by a loan, by modeh b'miktzat, one should be chayav shvuah. But the application of ki hu zeh, it's out of place. It doesn't belong here at all. And the fact that it belongs here is going to have no implications to this case, but it all talks about milvin has no implications for Shomer Chinam. Or the other possibility is, since it's found in the parsha of Shomer Chinam about Toin Tanat Ganav, then ki hu zeh does not only apply to milveh, but also applies to the case of Shomer Chinam. And that's exactly what Rechi Rabba is saying over here. Rechi Rabba is saying that the fact that ki hu zeh, this demand for modeh miktzat, to mechayev you a shvuah, to cause you or force you to take a shvuah, is not only a qualification by milveh, but it's also a qualification by pikadon. So that's the position of Rab Chiya bar Abba. On the other hand, Uplige the Rab Chiya bar Yosef. This argues on the position of Rab Chiya bar Yosef. Dam Rab Chiya bar Yosef, Eruv Parshiot Katuv Kan. Over here, we're talking about Eruv Parshiot. The two Parshiot that are found here are totally separate. They're mixed together, but they're totally independent. We have a Parsha of Pikadon of Shomer Chinam, of Toin Tanat Ganav. Then we have a Parsha of Modeh Miktzat, which has no application by Pikadon. It has to do with Milveh, and has nothing, and has no implications, no qualifications, nothing to do with the Parsha of Pikadon. They're totally separate entities. Okay, now, there are three ways to explain this next Gemara. We're going to first explain it according to Rashi, and then we'll come back and explain it according to the Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva. So Gemara says, Mechik Tev Ki Hu Zeh. When is the pasuk of Ki Hu Zeh? If it's Eruv Parshiot here and has nothing to do with Shomer Chinam and Toin Tanat Ganav, then what is the Ki Hu Zeh referring to? It's a case of Milveh Hu Dichtiv. It's talking about a case of Milveh. Umayishna Milveh. What's the difference with the Milveh? Why by Milveh do we require Modeh Miktzat? Yes, by Pikadon, we do not require a Modeh Miktzat. Okay, the Rabba, because that we have, Rabba gives an explanation for that. Amar Rabba, Mipnei Amra Torah, Modeh Miktzat HaTana Yishava. Why does the Torah tell us that when he's modeh b'miktzat, when it comes to a milveh, to a loan, that he must take a shvuah? Why? Chazakah, in adam iz panav b'fnei bal chuvo. We have a chazakah, we have a general principle that a person will not be so brazen, will be not so forward to take and come ahead, go ahead and lie before the person who gave him the loan. Now Rashi claims, why won't he lie? What's the problem here? It's because ashal lo tova, that this person did something good for him. He lent him money. He did him a tova. By lending him the money and doing this tova, he's too embarrassed or he's unable to go ahead and in front of him lie and say, you never lent me money or you never give me money. He should have really denied the whole claim. So why didn't he deny the whole claim? Because he's not willing to deny the whole claim because he's too he's uncomfortable with denying the whole claim. So the truth is, he really does owe the money and should admit it to everything. What's the reason that he is denying the mix? That's part of it. If I admit that I really owe him all the money now, he's going to come and make the claim to pay it all up now. I don't have the money. What I'll do is I'll admit the part of it, and then it'll buy me time to get the rest. And then when I get the rest of the money, I'll go ahead and come and pay him. Hilkach Rama Rachmana Shvuale. So Torah says, no, take a Shvu'ah, so we get the real truth here. Kehecha Delode Dei Bekulei. So they admit the whole thing. So now, Begabi Milva, who the Ikal Amei Marachi. That's only true when it comes to a loan. Aval Gabi Pikadon. When it comes to Pikadon, according to Rashi, what's the reason that a person is not Meiz Panav by Milva? It's because he did him a favor. He lent him money. By Pikadon, the Baal never did you a favor. It's actually you who's doing the Baal a favor. You're watching it for him. So therefore, he's meiz or meiz. He's no problem lying or saying untruths in front of the Baal because he doesn't really owe him anything. So what comes out from Rashi is that the atano, or the claim of the individual over here, is a strong enough claim to make you chayav. So if he comes along and makes a claim and says, you owe me money because I lent you money and you owe me money. So that's one claim. Or the other possibility is you come along, I gave you something to watch. I gave you a pika on something to watch. In either of those instances, the Tana is strong enough to make you chayav. The only thing can be pater you or poter you in this case from a shvuah or from the need to take a shvuah is we have a variable or a reason to say that you should be patur. When is there a reason to say you should be patur? In a case where I believe that you wouldn't lie. So if you make such a claim, I know that you're not lying. That's only true in one instance. What's the instance of that? That's where it's kofir bako by a milveh. In a case of a loan where he denies that the whole thing happened. If he denies the whole thing happened by a milveh, we believe him. Why do we believe him? Because we know that if there was any untruth to what he was saying, he would never be able to do that. Because this person lent the money and did him a tova, there's a chazaka that he would not be so brazen, he would not be able to go and deny the whole thing. The fact that he does come and deny it must mean that there was no loan here. So therefore, according to Rashi, a kofar bakol by a milveh will not have to take a shvuah, because that kofar akol is a true kofar akol. That is not true in all other instances. The first instance is by modeh b'miksat. If a person admits in portion to a milveh, in that case, we don't have that chazak anymore. Truthfully, yet if he really nothing had happened, he would have denied the whole claim. And the fact is, he really should admit to the whole thing here. So why is he being modeh b'miksat? He's trying to slip and to buy himself some time in order to be able to pay the loan back at a later instance. So the fact that he was modeh b'miksat already makes us suspicious as to his reasons for denying at least a portion of the claim, or he should have really, if it was really true, he should have just denied the whole claim. The fact that he doesn't already tells us there's something wrong here, and therefore we're going to obligate him to take a shvu'ah to really get to the truth. By the case of Pikadon and a Shomer, over there, there's no reason to be poter. There's no reason to be poter at all. Why? Both by a kofar bako and by modeh b'miksat, we don't have the mitigating factor, which is that of me'iz panav. Because by Pikadon, since according to Rashi, the whole idea of me'iz panav no tova dan, if that's the case, by Pikadon, there is no tova over here. And therefore, the person is going to be willing to be me'iz or me'iz. He'll go ahead and lie no matter what. Whether it's a case of kofar bakol or a case of modeh b'miksat, he's willing to lie to the balim, to the original owners over here, because he doesn't owe them anything. If he's going to lie over here, then we have no mitigating factor. If we have no mitigating factor, he's got to go ahead and take a shvuah. So it comes out, according to Rashi, that by a pikadon, if you're modeh b'miksat or you're kofar bakol, you're going to have to take a shvuah, because we have no reason to believe you. We have no mitigating factor to say that you're telling the truth, because meyuz or meyuz, you will be meyuz panav, and therefore there's no reason to believe you. On the other hand, by milveh, and that's what the rabbi comes to explain, by milveh we'll have the case of kofar bakol. Case of kofar bakol, you will be patur. Why? Because in that case, there is a mitigating factor of in adam meiz panav b'fnei b'chuvo, and therefore if you do make such a claim, you are believed. And if you are believed, then we say don't take a shvuah. On the other hand, by the case of modeh b'miksat, over there, you don't have any real taina. Why don't you have any real taina? Because you're being modeh b'miksat. Modeh b'miksat, Rabbi explains, is really a way to buy yourself time to get more time to pay back the loan, but not really a statement of truth. So according to Rashi, it's all about the tana. The claim is strong enough to make you chayav. If we have a mitigating factor, which is only in the case of kofar bakol b'milveh, will make you patur from the shvuah. Otherwise, you are going to be chayav in a shvuah. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva explain this case differently. The reason that Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva take issue with Rashi's Pshad is because of the fact that Rashi says by a Pikadon, by a case of Pikadon, a person, and we say Kofar Bakol is going to be Chayav, the way Rashi explains it. Problem is that throughout the Mishnayot, throughout Shas, that's not the case. When we have cases of Kofar Bakol by a Pikadon, he is Chayav Shvua, but he's only Chayav Shvua Midrabanan, not Min HaTorah. In the Torah, it seems pretty clear from the other places that the Torah does not mechayiv him, and he's patur min ha-shvua when he's kofar bakol. Later on, the Rabbanan instituted something called shvuat heseit, which imposed a shvua on somebody who is kofar bakol, but that was not a din de'oraisa. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva offer alternative pshatim. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that the issue that we're discussing over here is that when it says ki huzeh, that it's talking about a milveh and a pikadon, that both of them have the same requirement of hoda'ah. They both have a requirement of some sort of admission over here. It just depends on what type of kfirah, what you need on the other side of the hoda'ah. When it comes to a milveh, hoda'ah means I have a hoda'ah, I admit to part of it. On the other half of it, I have a kfirah, I have a denial on the other half of it. On the other hand, when it comes to a case of pikadon, what's the case of pikadon? That's nansu. I make a claim, why am I patur? Because it was nanas, it was taken ba'ones, and therefore I'm a patur, and I take shvua to that effect. When am I going to be chayav for a shvua like that? That's only when I have a hoda'ah, when I have some sort of admission that I owe something. Plus, I'm making an additional claim of nansu. That'll be the equivalent of the kfira by the case of pikadon. Therefore, according to Reb Chiya and Bar Yosef, the cases of pikadon and milver are exactly the same. There'll be a case where you have two parim, right, or two parot. Someone comes and makes a claim and says, I lent you two parot. The guy comes back and says, no, you only lent me one. The other one, no, I don't know anything about it. It never happened. So that's hoda'ah v'kfira. That's motiv mikzat, and therefore he's going to be chayav to take a shvua. Same thing by pikadon. When it comes to a pikadon, you have shtei parot, and he comes along and says, listen, I gave you two parot to watch. Where are they? He says, well, one of them, right, I still have over here, and I need to return that to you. But the other one, nanas, was taken, it was stolen from me by listing mizuin, it was a case of ones, and therefore I'm not chayav to you. In that case, it's also a muda miksat. There is a hoda'ah over here, and the hoda'ah makes me chayav a shvua over here. And that's exactly what Rabbah is coming to explain to us over here. Rabbah is coming to explain to us over here, why are you chayav by the case of modiv miksas? Because I should have believed you with amigo. If in a case by kofar bakol, when there's a total denial, I am patur, then bimigo, if I make a partial admission, then I should also be patur. Why? Because I had a better claim. I come to you, I say, listen, I really am chayav you one of these things, or I really do have one of your items with me. The fact that you said modiv miksas and you're chayav yourself partially, you could say I should be believed. Why? Because I had a much better claim. I could have made a claim and I could have denied the whole thing. The fact that I did not deny the whole thing, and now coming to be modiv miksat, comes, I should be patur the gamre. So that's what Rabbah comes to teach you. Rabbah comes to teach you that modiv miksat is not a good migo. Why is it not a good migo? Because there's another reason why a person would be modiv miksat. The reason a person would be modiv miksat is not because he's telling the truth and he had a better claim, but the reason he's doing it is because he wants to buy himself time to get the stuff back. By a milveh, he doesn't have the money right now, so he wants to give it back later. Buy the pikadon, it's somewhere else, and he can't give it to him right now, so he wants to buy time so that he can bring it back to the original owner. So the reason for Rabbah has nothing to do with the kofar bakol. It's all about the hoda'ah, and it's coming to explain to us why motive and miksas is not a good claim of migo, but rather is some case where we need to be suspicious and take a shvu'ah. On the other hand, Reb Chir ba Abba, who argues on Reb Chir ba Yosef and says that by pikadon or by the case of shomer, you need modem miksas. He's going to say that you need, in a case of a shomer, you actually need three parot. You're actually going to require three animals. That means that you need one par that is the hoda'ah, one par that is the kfirah, you have a modem miksas, plus you have one par where he claims nansu. So even though, truthfully, by pikadon, by a shomer, even Reb Chir Bava will agree that if you just have modem miksas, you have a kfirah and hoda'ah, you'll be chayav. But he says, by Nansu, Hoda'ah is not enough. You need Nansu, Hoda'ah, and Kfirah. That will be the position of Reb Chir Ba'ava. In the end, according to all of them, Reb Chir Ba'ava and Reb Chir Bar Yosef, everybody agrees that a Kofar Bakol is Patur. According to Rabbeinu Tam, Kofar Bakol is Patur. And nobody disagrees with that. The only disagreement about it, that is when it comes to, and everybody agrees by a Milveh, you need Modu Miksat to be Chayav. The only machlokas is about by a pikadon. By a pikadon is nansu and hoda'a enough. That's the position of Rav Chiya by Yosef. Or do you also require modiv miksas, additional to the claim of nansu, by the case of pikadon, and that's the position of Rav Chiya by Abba. What Rabbeinu Tam has to do in order to make his pshat work is he actually has to eliminate the last line in the Gemara. The last line in the Gemara, which says, aval kabi pikadon me'izu me'iz, that's not relevant for the Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam believes that pikadon and milveh are equal, and there is no difference between pikadon and milveh. The only thing Rabba is coming to address is about motiv miksat versus kofer bakol, but he's not coming to distinguish between milveh and pikadon. So therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam eliminates the girsa of al-gabi pikadon me'izu me'iz, and he Tosfos mentions that in older Sfarim that girsa did not exist. So that's the position of Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosfos continues and brings the question down that's a problem both for Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore he sides with the last pshat that he brings down, which is that of the Riva. The Riva says that when the pasuk says ki huzeh, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, ki huzeh is referencing rak and milvet. It's only talking about a case of a loan, but not literally a case of a loan, but anything that looks like a case of a loan. So therefore, anything that looks like a case of a loan will have a din like a loan. Anything that looks like a case of a pikadon will have a din of a pikadon. So what does it mean that it looks like a case of a loan? So that's explained by Rabba. Rabba explains to us what's called a loan and what's called a pikadon. A case of a loan is a case where I'm afraid to lie to the person. Why am I afraid to lie to the person? Because he knows the truth. Not like what Rashi said, the reason I'm afraid to lie is because he did me a tov'ah. No, the reason that I'm afraid is because he knows the truth. So Rashi, who was trying to say to us that we're looking for a factor that is a mitigating factor to be poter you, meaning that the Tana is strong enough to make you chayiv shvuah, and we're looking for a mitigating factor to say that you are patur, he gives a very narrow definition or strong definition of what the reason that a person is not meiz panav, which means that you did him something good. On the other hand, Tosfos is looking for a reason to be mechayev. Tosfos says that the taina itself, the claim itself, is not enough to be mechayev shvuah. We need something else to be mechayev you a shvuah. And what is it that's going to make you chayev shvuah? What's going to make you chayev shvuah is that if you don't have the ability to say that I wouldn't lie in this case. And therefore, he has a much broader definition of what is considered meiz panav or lo meiz panav. So here Tosfos says, when is a person not meiz panav? When the other person knows the truth. So that can be the case in pikadon and the case in milvet, where I lent the person money, I know that I lent him money. So he's not going to come and deny the fact that I lent him money. Therefore, if he's a kofer bakol, if he denies the thing entirely, he is patur. Same thing by a pikadon. If I gave you an item to watch, and then you come to me and you look me in the face and say, you never gave me that item to watch, that's also a case where a person would not be me'iz panav. Why? Because the other person knows the truth. The fact that you said that makes it believable, and you'll also be patur. So by kofer bakol, in both those instances, you'll be patur. On the other hand, by modiv miktzat, if you have a partial admission in either of those cases, you will be chayav. While you'll be chayav in modiv miktzat in both these cases, well, by milveh, we have the explanation of Rabba, because the reason that you're being modiv miktzat over here is not because you are believed, but rather because you're trying to buy yourself some time in order to pay the loan back later on. So therefore, the motive miksas over here is an indication of the fact that you're probably not telling the truth, and that is what's mechayev you the shvu over here. The motive miksas is actually what generates the chiyuv shvuah, and therefore you are chayav, and you're going to be chayav here, both in a case of a milveh, also in a case of pikadon that looks like a milveh, when a motive miksas, in a case where the Baalim know the truth when they gave me that item, and the reason I'm trying to do this is in order to buy myself some time. On the other hand, by cases where the owner's not going to know the truth, then I'm me'izu me'iz. What's a case like that? That's a case of nansu. That's a case of where I claim that the item was taken from me forcibly, and therefore I'm in patur because of the case of nanas. In that case, the person's me'izu me'iz. Why? Because the owner never knows the truth. I could lie to him, and I can't look him in the face, and he won't know if I'm telling the truth or not, because he wasn't there when this actually happened, so therefore I'm willing to lie. So if that's the case, even in a case of kofer bakol, by a case of nansu, you're going to have to take a shvu'ah. So what comes out from the Rivaz Pshat is that by a case of pikadon and a case of milveh, if I am denied the whole thing took place, in both those cases I'm patur. Why am I patur? Because the other person knows the truth, and the fact that I'm willing to stand in front of his face and say to him, it never happened, that's enough to make us believe you. On the other hand, by modiv miktzat, if I give in and I say, oh, you know, I kind of owed you something, I owe you a part of it, already that's an indication to us or that we should be suspicious, and that's what generates the shivuah over here. That's what tells us that you should have a shivuah. On the other hand, by case of nensu, by case of pikadon, when I say it was nanas, that it was taken from me forcibly, over there, there's no mitigating, there's no reason for us to believe you. Why is there no reason for us to believe you? Because you may ease or may ease. There's no reason for you to not to tell the truth, because you're not afraid of this guy. He has no idea whether you're telling the truth or not, so you're willing to go ahead and lie. So in that case, you will be chayav, even in a case of gofer bak. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Tani Rami Bar Chama Arba Shomrim Tzrichim Kfira B'Miktzat Hoda Miktzat. Rami Bar Chama says that when it comes to the four Shomrim, we do require Hoda Miktzat and Kfira Miktzat. This basically goes against the position of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef that we just said about Ere Parshiot Kan. And it seems to be somewhat similar to the case, the position of Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says only Tana Tana Ganava Pikadon. Rav Bar Chama seems to extend it to all four of the Shomrim. Ve'eluhin, what are the four Shomrim? Shomer Chinam, Ve'shoel, Nosei Sechar, Ve'socher. Amar Abba, my time at Rav Bar Chama. What's the reasoning behind the position of Rav Bar Chama? He says, Shomer Chinam, Behejektiv Be. Shomer Chinam, that's where the Parsha of Ki Huzeh is found in it. Ki Huzeh. That's in the middle of the parsha of Shomer Chinam. So obviously you need Modu Miksat by the case of Shomer Chinam. Shomer Tachar Yadlif Netina Tina Mi Shomer Chinam. We have a Gzeres Shava between Shomer Chinam and Shomer Tachar from the words Netina and Nitina that are found in both cases. And therefore whatever is true by the Shomer Chinam will be true by the Shomer Tachar. So we'll require Modu Miksat by a Shomer Tachar as well. A Shoel, it says V'chi Yishal. After the parsha of Shomer Tachar, it says V'chi Yishal. The Vav is a Chibur, Mosif al Parsha Rishon, meaning that Mosif al Yin Rishon, it continues that was said before, which is the Shomer Sachar. So Shoel will have the same din as the Shomer Sachar, which also require Modu Miksas and Kfir Miksas. So Cher, Idam, and Damrek is Shomer Sachar, Hainu Shomer Sachar. We have a machlokis in another place whether the socher is like a shomer sachar or shomer chinam. If you believe he's like a shomer sachar, then we already said why a shomer sachar requires a modem exas. Either mandam or shomer chinam, I know shomer chinam. Also, have a reason to say by a shomer chinam that it's modem exas is chayav, because that's where the parsha of kihuzeh is found. Okay, now the Gemara continues. V'amar Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, hatoin tanat ganav b'pikadon inu chayav ad shishalach bo yad. That a person who is toin tanat ganav by a pikadon, shomer who's watching a pikadon and makes a claim that it was stolen from him, he's not chayav in that toin ganav if he's found to have stolen, unless he was shaleach yad, if he already had taken some use out of it, some benefit out of it. I mean, prior to taking the shivu'ah, then he had to be shaleach bayad. My time, well, what's the reason for the position of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef? It's because the pasuk says, v'nikra v'alabayit elukim im lo shaleach yado m'lechet re'eyu. So when it comes to the parsha, which is explained to us that the person has to take a shvuah, it says v'nikrav balabayit elohim shloach sheyado b'me'achet re'eyu. So when it's talking about the shvuah that he's taking, why is he taking the shvuah? Because it was toin tanat ganav. So if he was toin tanat ganav, and the pasuk says v'nikrav balabayit elohim im lo shloach sheyado b'me'achet re'eyu, that he didn't touch it already, that he didn't get any hanah from it, the indication is that the shvuah, or the reason he's going to be chayav by toin tanat ganav, is because he was shaleach yad, that he actually touched it and he got benefit out of it and he got some hanah from it, that he used it before he made the claim of toin tanat ganav. Lememra, it comes to teach us the b'shaleach b'yad askinan, that's what the case is over here. So Rav Chiya Bar Abba says in the name of Rav Yochanan that you're wrong. I'm sorry, Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, that Rav Yochanan says that even if the animal is standing over its trough, meaning that the shomer never touched the animal, if he's toin tanat ganav and is found to be lying and it's in his possession, then he is chayav kefel, that you do not shluach yad. The shlichut yad is not a requirement for you to be chayav kefil when it's toin tanat ganav. You can be toin tanat ganav, and if you're found to be in your possession, you're going to be chayav kefil, irrespective of whether you were shaleach yad by it. So Amalei Reb Zeir Reb Chiya Bar Abba, Davko Medet Al Vusa Kamar, Aval Shalach Bayad Kana, Ushva Lo Mahan Yubei Klum, O Dilma Afilo Medet Al Vusa Kamar. When Rabbi Yochanan makes the statement that the animal is standing on its trough, we could read that statement in one of two ways. One possibility is that we read the statement that only when it's standing on its trough, meaning that only when there was no shlichut yad, only when the shomer did not get any benefit from it, is he going to be chayav kefil when he's toin tanat ganav, because he didn't do anything else wrong. So therefore, that's why he is chayav. Or maybe when Rabbi Yochanan made that statement, he has even even when it's simply a case of not shleich yad, you are chayav, but if you are shleich yad, you'll also be chayav kefel. So which one is it? So we can read that again in the Gemara. So he says, the question is, dafka umedet al vusa kamar, is it literally that is a case where he was not, there was no shleich yad, aval shleich vayad, but had he been shleich vayad, had the shomer gotten benefit from it, kana, he's a gazlan, and he's koner on the spot, and therefore the shvur that he takes afterwards by toin takatanav is lamahanyabe, doesn't do anything for him, kum, doesn't mean, it's not meaningful, therefore he won't be chayav kefil. Or Dilmar, maybe the possibility is afil umedet al vusa. It means afil, even when it's standing on its trough, you're going to be chayav. Implications are that even means that in a case of shleich v'yad, or even in a case when it's not shleich v'yad. So it doesn't matter if you're shleich yad or not shleich yad, you could be chayav kefil, as long as he took a shvu'ah, saying that it was stolen from him. So amalei zulo shamati. I never heard an explanation on whether, which way Rabbi Yochanan was saying this. Kiyotzi bav shamati. I heard something similar from where we can maybe make some, we can make some conclusion or draw some conclusions from it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a twain tanat avad. Person makes a claim of avad, that it was lost. The shomer says that the item that he's watching was lost. V'nishpa, he takes a shvu'ah. V'chazar, and after he does that, he comes back. V'ta'an tanat ganav. Then he comes back afterwards and says that it was stolen from him. V'nishpa, and then he takes a shvu'ah. U'bau edim, and edim come along and say, and bau edim patur. In that case, he's patur. My time. What's the reason? What's the reason that when he's 20 tanat avad, he says it was lost. V'nishpa, he took a shvu'ah, v'chozer, and afterwards he's ta'an, tanat ganav, then he says it was really stolen, and he takes the shvu'ah to that effect, and then bau edim is patur. My time, Allah, misham dekono b'shvu'ah rishona, isn't the reason why, because he was koneh it in the first shvu'ah. What does that mean, he was koneh with the first shvu'ah? This is the position that we had of Rav Sheshet earlier. Rav Sheshet said to us that any person who is kofer b'pikadon, person who denies the fact that he has a pikadon or that he had taken possession of a pikadon to watch, then he's considered like a gazlan. He becomes a gazlan. It's as if it's in his possession already. He's taken full possession of the item. So in this case, not only did he deny that he had the pikadon, he took a shvu'ah. So certainly Rav Sheshet would believe in a case where he says that he was denied it, that he takes possession, becomes a gazlan, it becomes his, and certainly if he took a shvu'ah to that effect, then it becomes his. So that's what we're basically saying over here. Once he makes the claim of tanat avad, made the claim that it was lost, and he took a shvu'ah to that effect, now the item is in his possession, there's nothing, he's a gazlan, he's chayven on the onsin, and there's nothing to talk about anymore. Again, now when he takes the second shvu'ah about tanat ganav, it has no relevance. That shvu'ah is a meaningless shvu'ah because the shvu'ah is about his own item at this point, because he's already made a kinyan and it belongs to him at this point, and therefore he cannot be chayav. Even if edim show up, he can't be chayav kefil. He's chayav like a gazlan from the moment that he stole it. So my time, Allah mishum tekan b'shvu'ah rishona, I'm a lay low. No, no, no. There's another way you can explain this. Ho'il v'yotze yidei balim b'shvu'ah rishona. No, this is like Rav, right? Remember Rav's position that Rav and Narodana qualified before? Rav said that a person who is to'ein tanat avad, person makes a claim that it was lost from him, and then he takes the shvu'ah to that effect, then the balakach bala v'lo yishalom. It says that the balim will accept that shvu'ah in lieu of payment, and once they've accepted that shvu'ah, the case is closed. You can't reopen the case up. Even if edim show up afterwards, then there's nothing to talk about. So same thing over here. When the reason why you are patur for the tanat ganav afterwards is because the first shvu'ah, when he said tam taravad, that ended the case. The case is over. At that point, once the case is over, then any shvu'ah that you take afterwards is not a meaningful shvu'ah. It's just a regular shvu'ah bitui. It's not a shvu'ah dayanim, because the dayanim cannot require you to make such a shvu'ah because you already patur, you ended the case with the first shvu'ah. Therefore, we have no conclusive evidence about what Rabbi Yochanan said. According to the coin, the first explanation would have helped us understand Rabbi Yochanan, because in the first case, the first way we explained that, Braisa, why when you're toin tanat avad and took a shvu'ah, then you did toin tanat ganav and took a shvu'ah, and edim come at your patur, we said because, the first explanation was because the first shvu'ah is what makes you into a gazlan. If you're a gazlan, it goes into your possession. Everything you do afterwards is meaningless. So the same thing by shluach yad. By shluach yad, you're also a gazlan. Once you're a gazlan, it comes into your possession. Every shvu'ah that you make afterwards is meaningless. So in that case, we would have understood that Rabbi Yochanan meant dafka when it was omed al vusa. Dafka when it's standing over its trough, because there's no shlichus yad. But in a case where there's shlichus, you had to be a gazlan, and the shvu'ah would have no impact. Rabbi says, no, that's not the explanation of that position of Rabbi Yochanan. But rather, the position, or the way to explain that statement is to say the reason that the first Shavuah makes it so that the second Shavuah is meaningless is because the first Shavuah is accepted in lieu of payment. That ends the case. And because that ends the case, that's why the second Shavuah comes. But then we have no conclusive evidence as to what Rav Yochanan believes when it comes to the case of Shlichut Yad. So now the Gemara continues. Person who was toin tanat aveda when it came to pikadon and took a shvuah to that effect. Then afterwards went ahead and took a claims that it was really a geneva vinishba, and then he took a shvuah to that effect. So there it's clear that the reason that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you are patur from the second shvuah has nothing to do with the fact that you are gazlan or went into your possession from the first shvuah, but rather because the case closed after the first shvuah. Once the dayanim accepted that shvuah, the case is over, it's in lieu of payment, and then when the edim come, they can't then make you chayav or something, because whatever happens after that point is after the case has been closed. So again, we have no evidence as to what Rabbi Yochanan believes with regards to shlichut yad. Now, the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Sheshes had toein tanat ganav v'pikadon, kevin sheshlach bo yad patur. Person who is toein tanat ganav claims that it was stolen by the pikadon. Soon as he shalech v'yad, shalech v'yad means even before, meaning prior to the fact that he took the shvuah, then he is patur. My time, hachi kamar rachmanav, nikrav balabayit elokim. That a person will come, Elohim, a person will come before the Beis Din, before the Dayanim, and take a shvuah, lo shalach yado, that he didn't touch it. Hashalach yado, meaning that had he been shalech yado, patur, that he doesn't fit into the parsha anymore. It's only if he did not, there was no shlichut yad, there was no getting benefit or taking into possession where he would be classified as a gazlan. Only in that case do we continue to read what the rest of the parsha has to say. The rest of the parsha says if you take a shvuah and then you're found to be the ganav, then in that case you will be chayav kefel. On the other hand, if you're shalech bayad, you become a gazlan right away. If you're a gazlan and then you're chayav ba'onsin, parsha the shomer is over. Then there's nothing to talk about. Even if you take a shvuah, that's not going to be mechayev you kefel, because when there is no parsha after shlichut yad. Shlichut yad says I'm gazlan, parsha of shomer is over, and I'm now the owner of the object, and I'm going to have to take care of it. Anything that happens afterwards is not relevant to the parsha of shomer, and therefore you can't be chayv kefil by toin kanat ganav in that instance. It seems Tosus points out over here that we saw an earlier statement of Rav Sheshes that a kufr pikadon is also not se gazlan. So if that's the case, should you also be patur from kefil when you are kufr bepikadon and then you take a shvuah that was toin kanat ganav? So those who says Nenira, the dafka kamar shlichut yad, that's exer sakatuv by shlichut yad, that's a case where you can't be chayav. Aval kofer pikadon, afu of the mar of sheshes el kofer pikadon aseg alav gazlan kefel mimehu mechayev. But even in that case, you still chayav kefel if you're caught, if you're found to be the one who did steal it yourself. So it's really unique to the case of shlichut yad, and that's exer sakatuv. But when it comes to kofer pikadon, even though you become a gazlan, to become responsible for it in its entirety, you don't get taken out of the parsha of shomer, and therefore, if you went out and take a shvuah and then found out to be the one who stole it, you will be chayav kefel, because it means you're chayav and onsin, but not that you're out of the parsha of gineva, or out of the parsha of toin tanat ganav, of shomer. On the other hand, by the case of shlichut yad, that not only makes you into a gazlan, but also removes you of the parsha of shomrim, and therefore you won't be chayv kefil for toin tanat ganav. Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman questioned this: Valo shlosh shvot mashbin oto. Aren't there three shvot which we force the shomer to take? One is shvuah shlo pashatiba. One shvuah is that I didn't do anything negligent with it, and that's why it was stolen. Because of negligence, I'm chayav, because then I wasn't shomer it properly. Shvuah shlo shlachti bayad. Number two shvuah I take is that I didn't get any personal benefit from it; I didn't use it myself. The third shvuah she'ena b'shuti. And the last shvuah is that it's not in my possession anymore. That's why it's toin tanat ganav. So my love, shvuah shlo shlachti bayad dumya the shvuah she'ena b'shuti. That the shvuah shlo shlach bayad is similar to the shvuah she'ena b'shuti. Ma shvuah she'ena b'shuti. What if I take a shvuah and I said it's not in my possession? Kim migleil milsa the itay b'shute. And then we find out that you really is in your possession, chayav. Then you're chayav kefil. So too, if I'm found to be lying by shlichut yad, when we find out that you really did use it and you did get benefit from it, also chayav that you could still be chayav kefil. I'm like, no. Why do you have to say that? You can say shvuah shlo shlachti bayad dumya deshlo pashati ba. There are actually three shvuot here. So why don't you compare the case of shlichus yad to the case of pashati ba? My shvuah shlo pashati ba, the shvuah that says that I was not posheya in it, And I find out in the end, Kimigle Milsud the Pashabar, then we find out that you were Poshe in it. Patur Mikefel, in that case you were Patur Mikefel, because he can't be then be found Nimsa Ganav. The problem here is not that he was Nimsa the Ganav, but the problem was that he was Pusheya, that he did not watch the item properly. Right? Afshvu Ashaloshach Bayad, so Shlichus Yad will work the same way. Kimigle Milsud the Shalach Bayad, Patur Mikefel. Also, in this case, you will be Patur mi kefil. So compare the case of, or the Shavua of Shlichut Yad to the case of Shlo Pashati. In the case of Shlo Pashati, if I'm found out that I was lying and I'm wrong and I was Pushea, I won't be Chayav kefil. So too by Shlichut Yad, if I'm found out to be lying and I was really Shlech Yad, I'll be Chayav the Karen, but I will not be Chayav kefil. The only case I'll be Chayav kefil where I take a Shavua that it was stolen, Shlo Bershuti, that it's not my possession, we find it in your possession, in that case, then you will be Chayav. Okay, we'll stop over here.